He reached out to help her, but Farah regained her balance and scrambled up the rest of the stairs. Blake's heartbeat returned to normal. "Are you okay?" he asked.
"Yeah."
Farah brushed a stray strand of hair out of her eyes. It was the first word she'd said to him in 6 days, not that he was counting. She'd avoided him since Macau, and he didn't blame her. He'd acted like a dick that night. Farah brushed past him and hauled herself through the watchtower window onto the next stretch of the wall. Blake followed suit. He waited until they edged across the narrow path beneath the watchtower and reached the broader main section before he spoke. "So, how are you liking the hike?" He winced the instant the words left his mouth. "Lame."
"Fine."
Blake tried a different tack. "Have you been to Beijing before?"
"No."
"It's an interesting city."
"Mm-hmm."
"Heard the Laoshis are serving us poisonous mushrooms for dinner tonight."
"Great."
Blake groaned.
"Farah."
"What?"
"Talk to me."
"I am talking to you."
Multiple words. That was an improvement.
"Look, I know I acted like an asshole last week. I'm sorry."
Blake stumbled over the last word because he'd still tear that guy's arm off if he had the chance. The image of Farah and douchebag making out flashed through his mind. Blake's jaw clenched. He wasn't sorry about tearing douchebag away from her. He was sorry about the way he treated Farah. He'd been hopped up on his own issues and jealousy and took them out on her. Plus that bit about loving her like a sister. Complete bullshit. If Blake thought about Joy the way he thought about Farah, he was in for some serious hell in the afterlife.
"Apology accepted."
Silence fell. Blake struggled to come up with the right words to say. Farah walked beside him, yet she was so distant he expected her to slip through his fingers and fade into the air at any moment. They passed through the next few watchtowers without a word, slope after slope, one step after another. After an hour, they stopped to rest. Farah sank onto the ground.
"You can go ahead," she said. "You don't have to stay with me."
"I want to." Farah slid a puzzled glance in his direction before turning to survey the landscape. Blake followed her gaze. It was a scene he'd seen multiple times in pictures, but nothing compared to the real thing. Not even close. Rugged mountains encircled them like sentinels, draped in cloaks of silence. The ancient walls sighed as they stood on its back, following in the footsteps of thousands who came before them. Nevertheless, it snaked through the rough terrain endlessly and persistently as it had for millennia. The wall cut a striking figure amongst the explosion of red, orange, and green foliage before it disappeared into the low-hanging mist in the distance. Every so often, a breeze swept by, carrying with it the whispers of history, the dynasties that rose and fell, the ghosts of emperors past and lives sacrificed, the faded screams of ancient warriors who'd fought on this very land. Goosebumps erupted on Blake's skin. He found it hard to wrap his mind around the fact that he was standing on thousands of years of history. He remembered visiting the Alamo as a kid and marveling at how old it was. Compared to the Great Wall, the Alamo was a freaking fetus.
"He always wanted to come here."
Blake sat next to Farah. His feet sighed in relief.
"Who?" "My dad."
"There's still time. I have a feeling the wall will be here for a while," Blake joked. Farah looked down.
"He died 4 years ago."
"Oh, fuck." "I'm so sorry." Blake felt like an ass. He couldn't do anything right these days.
"It's okay. You didn't know."
Her smile wobbled and lasted 5 seconds before it fell. It broke Blake's heart. He was shit at comforting people. He never knew what to say, and tears made him more uncomfortable than a nun who stumbled into an orgy. If this were anyone else, Blake would have gotten the fuck out of there. But this wasn't anyone else. This was Farah. He placed a tentative arm around her shoulders. To his relief, she didn't pull away.
"My dad spent most of his life in China and never saw its most famous landmark."
Farah played with the pendant around her neck.
"He used to tell me we'll visit together. One day, he said, we'll fly to Beijing and walk the entire wall from one end to the other. It'll be the greatest father-daughter hike ever taken. I was only 7 at the time. But even I knew it was impossible to walk the entire wall. Still, I liked imagining it. It seemed like a great adventure. Her voice thickened with unshed tears. Blake squeezed her tight, wishing he could do more to help. Farrah sniffled and wiped her nose with the back of her hand. Anyway, tell me about your dad. Are you guys close? Blake swallowed. He had to battle his instinct to avoid the question before he got his answer out. We were, once. A long time ago. When he was a kid, his dad would take him to the zoo and make funny faces imitating the animals until Blake howled with laughter. He took Blake fishing every 2 months, and almost came to blows with Ted Crenshaw's dad after Ted pushed Blake at recess and Blake skinned his knee. Then Blake grew up and displayed a talent for football. His dad stopped being his dad and started being his coach. He never switched back.
What happened?
We grew apart. Blake played with the ends of Farrah's hair. They slipped across his fingers like silk. We have different ideas of how I should live my life.
I'm guessing he didn't want you to quit football?
He barked out a laugh devoid of humor. That's putting it mildly. His biggest dream is for me to sign with the NFL. He played college ball too, you know. But he tore his ACL and that ended his pro dreams. So he lived those dreams through me until I, quote-unquote, threw my future away. Because I'm an idiot who can't do anything right except throw a ball. Farrah lifted her head to look at him.
That's not true. I've seen how hard you work. You're definitely more than a meathead.
Maybe. Blake wasn't sure. He spent most of his life so focused on football he didn't have time to do much else. He was a business major and he did well in his classes, but he didn't have any business experience except for a summer internship after his sophomore year. He had to fight his father tooth and nail on that one. Joe Ryan didn't understand why Blake would throw away a summer's worth of preseason prep to toil in an office. He thought about his idea to start his own sports bar, but that was all he did. Think about it. Blake was too terrified of what might happen if he tried to do it. The last thing he wanted was to fail and prove his father right.
Not maybe. For sure.
Farrah's tone brooked no opposition.
Trust me, meatheads do not pick up Mandarin as quickly as you have.
Blake's mouth quirked up. Know a lot of Mandarin-learning meatheads, do you?
I'm from L.A. You'd be surprised.
She rubbed her arms. Blake pulled her closer. The nip in the air felt good when they were walking, but it started to bite after they stopped moving.
So why did you quit football? Most guys would kill for a chance to join the NFL.
She wasn't the first person to ask him that question, but she was the first person he wanted to tell the truth to. Blake weighed his words before he answered. A week after we won the national championship, I ran into Dan Griffin's wife at an alumni event. He was a Mustangs quarterback back in the day. One of the best. Played for 16 seasons in the NFL before he retired and became a sports broadcaster. A lump formed in Blake's throat when he remembered the look in her eyes. She'd been so sad and angry, it wrenched his heart. He died of CTE a few days before the event. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a degenerative brain disease found in those with a history of repetitive brain trauma, such as the concussions football players often endured on the field. Blake had heard of CTE before. He never expected it to affect someone he knew, especially not someone as larger than life as Dan. He was invincible, or so it seemed. Farrah's eyes widened.
Oh my God.
I was close to Dan. He came to all the games and was my mentor in a way. But I only met his wife a few times. She wasn't much into the football world, and I didn't know why she wanted to talk to me specifically, except... Blake looked down. To warn me, I guess. To get out while I can. She didn't want what happened to Dan to happen to me. Their paths were similar.
Both Blake and Dan were Texas-born and bred high school football stars who chose to attend TSU after a recruitment war between the country's top Division I schools. Both Heisman winners groomed for the NFL. Both buoyed and weighed down by the expectations of those around them. There was only one difference. Dan loved football, Blake said. He lived for it, and in the end, died for it. I like football, but it was always more for my father than myself. I would have been happy being a normal student instead of a so-called sports star. Sometimes he fantasized about what his life would have been like, had that been the case. Would his relationship with his father be any different? Or would they have been at odds over something else? Would his father have resented Blake for not following the football path he himself wanted but couldn't take? I don't want to die for something I don't love. When Blake found out what happened to Dan, he remembered all the hits he'd taken on the field. Every tackle replayed itself in his mind, including a brutal takedown by Oklahoma's defense his sophomore year. It had led to pain so sharp he was sure he had a concussion. But he played through it, because the team was counting on him, and that's what you did. The Mustangs won, the pain went away. But what if one day it didn't? Blake was healthy now. If he continued along his path, he might not be. Dan's death wiped away the dust, and he saw the writing on his wall. Could he say the same for his friends, family, and fans? Probably not. Football was a religion in Texas. Blake would get pilloried for being selfish and overdramatic if he revealed he quit because he was worried about CTE. So he kept his mouth shut and let the speculation run wild. It was better than the alternative. Ferris squeezed his hand.
That's understandable. I can't imagine anyone would be mad about that.
You haven't met my father. Ferris' gaze swept down. Blake winced when he realized how callous his complaint must sound.
I'm sorry. He and I have our differences, but I know I'm lucky he's still here. It's okay.
Farrah fiddled with her necklace again.
My dad wasn't the greatest dad either when he was alive. I feel terrible saying that because he was a good dad for a while.
Her voice wobbled.
He had an interesting life before he married my mom. They settled down and had me, and everything was great until it wasn't. My parents started fighting every night over stupid stuff, what channel to watch, whose turn it was to take out the trash, until my dad moved out. I was 13.
Blake's chest tightened as Ferris spoke. 13 was hard enough without having to deal with your parents' separation.
They separated for a year before divorcing. In that year, without my mom keeping an eye on him, my dad fell back into old bad habits. Smoking, drinking, gambling. He racked up a ton of debt, and he and my mom still had some joint accounts, so you can imagine how that went down. I remember walking into my mom's bedroom one day after they divorced and seeing her cry. My mom never cries. I was so pissed at my dad for putting us through all of that pain that when I saw him during our next visit, I called him all these horrible names and I...
Farrah swallowed hard.
I said I wished he were dead.
The tightness increased until Blake couldn't breathe.
A few days later, we got a call from my uncle. My dad had been dealing with liver cirrhosis for years, but it got worse without my mom looking after him. My uncle called to tell us my dad was in a coma.
A sense of foreboding fell over Blake.
A few days later, he died.
His heart exploded. Farrah radiated so much pain, Blake felt it deep within his bones. He hugged her tight, unable to do anything but hold her and keep the pieces together as she fell apart.
Can you imagine if the last thing your daughter ever said to you was that she wished you were dead?
The only way Blake knew how much Farrah hurt was by the way her shoulders heaved as she collapsed into silent sobs.
Shh, it's okay.
He rubbed her back and pressed his lips to the top of her head, feeling helpless. It's okay.
I'm a terrible person. No matter what he did, he was my dad and I loved him, and now I'll...
She hiccuped.
I'll never get the chance to tell him.
He knows. Farrah shook her head.
He does, Blake insisted. We've all said things we regret out of anger. I'm sure your dad did, too. He knew you didn't mean it. And those were only a few words out of how many you've spoken to him throughout your life.
He tilted her chin up. Despite her red nose and swollen eyes, she took his breath away. Her true beauty wasn't physical. It was in her soul. He saw it shining through in everything she did, and it was as bright and warm as the sun on a summer day.
You're an incredible person. You would never hurt someone on purpose. This is coming from me, someone who's known you for 3 months. Your dad knew you your entire life.
Farrah's lips trembled. She nodded once before burying her face in his chest again. Blake sat there, holding her until her sobs slowed. Once they did, she pulled away and wiped her cheeks dry.
I'm sorry. I ruined your shirt.
It's a stupid shirt. I can buy another one.
Blake brushed away her remaining tears.
How are you feeling?
Better,
Farrah sniffled.
I've never told anyone what happened with my dad before. Not even my mom.
Damn. Blake was about to cry himself. Toughen up, man. Thank you for trusting me.
She gave him a wobbly smile.
Thank you for trusting me.
They sat there on their little corner of the wall, each the keeper of the other's secrets. Their fight in Macau was a faded memory, but one thing from that night remained crystal clear in Blake's mind. The look in Farrah's eyes when he asked why she cared about him and Mina. Deep down, he knew what she was going to say. He'd interrupted her with a lie because he was too scared to admit what he'd known all along, but after today, there was no use denying it. Blake was in love with Farrah. He was in so deep he didn't have a devil's chance of getting out, and what's more, he didn't want to. Blake closed his eyes and leaned his head against the wall.
I am so fucked.
Chapter 15. The pebbles crunched beneath Farrah's feet as she and Blake followed Wang Laoshu to their hostel in Gubei, a water town at the foot of the Sumantai section of the wall. As Farrah expected, they were the last FEAers to arrive. Farrah was exhausted, but she had enough wits about her to admire the view. Despite being an artificial ancient town, modeled after the actual historic town of Wuchen in southern China, Gubei was beautiful. Its traditional architecture harkened back to the days of imperial China. Stone streets wound past wooden houses with tile roofs and sweeping eaves. Small arch bridges curved over narrow canals. As the sun sank beneath the horizon, the lights flicked on, one by one, until the entire town glowed with their warmth. The orange spots danced and shimmered on the water, competing with the pale fire skies for attention.
Toto, we're not in Texas anymore, Blake murmured. Laughter bubbled up inside her. It was a relief after the heavy emotions of earlier that day. No, Dorothy, we're not. Farrah was coming to terms with her unrequited feelings for Blake. She wasn't even mad about what happened in Macau anymore. She'd missed Blake too much during the past week to stay angry with him. Her romantic feelings were one thing. Their friendship was another. What happened on the wall was proof of that. She'd kept her guilt over what happened with her dad a secret for so long that talking about it felt like a 1,000-ton weight had lifted off her shoulders. Farrah had had opportunities to talk about it before, but she'd been too afraid. Afraid people would judge her for being a terrible person and a terrible daughter. Afraid they would never look at her the same afterward. She didn't have that fear with Blake. Somehow, she knew he would understand. Blake slanted a glance in her direction. His mouth curled up to reveal those devastating dimples.
I'm glad we're talking again, he whispered. I missed you.
There went the damn butterflies.
Pharaoh loved all living creatures, but these butterflies needed to die.
I missed you too, brother. She punched him in the shoulder.
Oh, God, did I just say that? Blake frowned.
By the time they reached their hostel, dusk had settled over the town. Voices filtered through the open doorway of the complex.
FEA had booked the entire building, which was large enough to house all 70 students if they crammed 4 to a room.
Farrah stepped into the courtyard and found the rest of FEA eating dinner at the tables scattered throughout the space. The smell of pork and noodles wafted through the air, eliciting a growl from her stomach. She'd planned on showering before she ate, but she was ravenous.
Guys, over here!
Courtney waved them over to the group's table in the back corner.
Took you guys long enough. We thought you died.
Luke reached for the near-empty plate of dumplings.
I understand why Farrah took so long, but what happened to you?
He asked Blake.
You're supposed to be in good shape.
Farrah stuck her tongue out at him.
Thanks a lot.
Dude, Blake and Farrah haven't eaten yet.
Sammy knocked Luke's hand away.
I took it easy.
Blake glanced at Farrah as the hostel staff brought out another round of steaming home-cooked food. Stir-fried tomato with scrambled eggs, kung pao chicken with white rice, spicy dry-fried green beans, and shredded pork in sweet bean sauce. Farrah wolfed down her first portion and went for seconds. She'd endured more physical activity today than she had in months. She could eat a cow right now. The staff watched in stunned silence as the students devoured every morsel of food in 15 minutes flat.
Damn, that hit the spot. Luke leaned back in his chair, patted his stomach, and burped. Beside him, Chris wrinkled her nose and scooted closer to Blake.
I'm showered, I'm fed, I'm ready for bed.
Olivia yawned. Her eyes drooped with exhaustion.
You can't go to bed, Courtney checked her watch. It's only 7.
How?
It feels like midnight, Olivia moaned.
We woke up at 7 this morning, Farrah pointed out.
Great. A 12-hour day is enough for me. I'm beat.
I agree.
Leo, too, failed to stifle a yawn.
Stop! We're young, and so is the night. We're not going to bed.
Courtney planted her hands on the table.
We're playing a game. Does anyone have cards?
Silence. She sighed.
Fine. Never have I ever it is.
The last thing Farrah wanted to play was Never Have I Ever. But she sat through one game to indulge Courtney. Otherwise, she'd never hear the end of it.
Never have I ever received a grade below an A,
Nardo said, causing a wave of eye rolls around the table.
What? I haven't.
Big effing deal, Olivia said. Neither have I.
Then keep your finger up. That's how it works.
Fine. Never have I ever been rejected from a college.
Nardo glared at Sammy.
You told her?
No.
Yes. Sammy cleared his throat. Getting waitlisted at MIT is still an honor.
Nardo pressed his lips together and folded one finger down.
Never have I ever not made it to the interview round for an internship.
Never have I ever. Stop!
Courtney slashed the air with her hands.
This is not the Olivia and Nardo show. You're both smart, we get it. Let's move on. Farrah, it's your turn. Please make it good.
No pressure.
Farrah tried to think of something no one had said yet.
Never have I ever had a threesome.
Duh, Luke said. You're a virgin. You've never had a twosome. Ow!
Sorry,
Farrah said sweetly. My foot slipped.
Yeah, right, he grumbled.
Two people at the table put their fingers down. Blake and Sammy.
High school prom, Blake shrugged.
It didn't come as a surprise. She knew he was experienced. But jealousy still fluttered in her chest at the thought of Blake with two nameless, faceless girls. Sammy, on the other hand, was a surprise.
You've had a threesome?
Olivia's mouth formed a surprised O.
Years ago, Sammy shifted in his seat. That's not a big deal.
Sammy Sam,
Chris eyed him with newfound respect. Aren't you full of surprises?
Dude, you can't leave us hanging. Tell us the deets, Luke urged. No way. Come on.
Farrah tilted her head up to the sky. The moon shone bright and clear. Even the stars made an appearance.
I'm going for a walk, she said. We're at the edge of town. There's nothing nearby, Sammy pointed out, clearly eager to shift the attention away from himself.
I just need to walk off the food. Farrah stood up. I'll be back soon.
I'll go with you. Blake pushed back his chair. I could use a walk, too.
A walk sounds like a good idea. Chris nudged Courtney, who looked like she was about to argue. Right, Court?
Realization dawned on Courtney's face.
Right! Wish I could bring myself to get up, but I can't. She stretched her arms over her head. Have fun, guys. Remember, we don't have a curfew.
Luke's face scrunched in confusion. We do have curfew. The louche is ow! Would you guys stop kicking me?
Stop saying kick-worthy stuff, Chris said.
While her friends bickered, Farrah slipped out the hostel entrance with Blake in tow.
You didn't have to come with me. She pulled her jacket tighter around her body. The wind skimmed over the exposed skin on her face and hands, causing her to shiver.
I was planning to take a walk anyway. Might as well have company.
Blake's arm brushed hers as they walked. Her heart skipped. The layers of clothing between them did nothing to dull the effect he had on her. They wandered through the maze of buildings until they reached one of the little arched bridges closer to the main part of town.
I can't believe this place is real, Blake said. There's nothing like this in Texas.
Depends on how you define real. Farrah rested her arms on the railing. The government built it as a tourist site. It didn't exist until a few years ago.
Blake ran his hands over the smooth stone. It feels real to me.
Yeah. Farrah inhaled the crisp, cold air. It burned her lungs in a good way. How'd you end up here, Blake?
Same way you did. I walked from the hostel.
I meant in China.
I took a plane. His mouth corked at her expression. I'm guessing that's not the answer you were looking for.
You don't have personal ties to China, and you didn't study Chinese. Why'd you choose Shanghai? Not saying you have to have those things to be here, she added. I'm just curious. Most people prefer to go to Europe or Australia. China's too foreign for them.
That's going to sound stupid.
Try me. Blake's cheeks tinged pink.
I watched Skyfall, he admitted.
Farrah's laughter pealed through the air. That is a great scene, she agreed, remembering Bond's fight with an assassin at the top of a Shanghai skyscraper.
One of the best choreographed scenes in Bond history, if you ask me.
Blake joined in Farrah's mirth.
I know someone who chose their study abroad destination by closing their eyes and pointing to a map, so it could have been worse.
Where'd they end up? Blake's grin widened.
Moscow, in December.
She cracked up again. And they went through with it?
Yep. Fortunately for them, it was only a 3-week program.
Blake moved closer.
What about you? Why Shanghai?
I wanted to see this place for myself. My mom's always talking about China, but I'd never been. Farrah traced her initials with her finger on the railing. I almost didn't choose Shanghai. I studied Mandarin to make my mom happy. I went against her wishes and majored in interior design instead of engineering or whatever, so I thought it would be a good compromise. It worked, kind of. She still gives me shit for not learning Mandarin sooner. Apparently, I wasted my high school years on French.
Still better than me. I only speak English.
And some Mandarin, Farrah corrected him. I've forgotten most of my French, so she may have a point. I was going to brush up on it in Paris. But when it came time to choose my study abroad location, I don't know. I meant to click Paris, but somehow clicked Shanghai. And here I am. She flashed a lopsided smile. In some ways, I chose it with even less thought than you.
Hey,
Blake pretended to take offense.
What do you mean, less thought? I put a lot of effort into the decision-making process.
She patted his hand. Sure he did. To her surprise, Blake wrapped his fingers around hers. The warmth of his skin heated her from head to toe.
Either way, I'm glad you're here.
Farrah's breath caught in her throat. Blake was so close she could see every detail of his face. The dark lashes, the cheekbones that cut through the night like knives, the ice-blue eyes darkening to the color of sapphires. She saw him clearer than she'd seen anyone in her life. Blake? His name was a whisper in the night. His Adam's apple bobbed.
Yes.
Do you really think of me as a sister?
It was a dangerous question.
There was every chance she wouldn't like the answer. But damn it, something about this place made her believe in magic, and she deserved to give it one last shot. She owed it to herself. No regrets. A thousand emotions passed over Blake's face. His hand trembled against hers. All the while, Farrah's heart banged against her chest, desperate to reach something on the other side.
No.
His hand remained entwined with hers. The banging intensified. What do you think of me? Blake was silent for so long she thought he didn't hear her. She was debating whether to repeat the question or flee in mortification when he stepped closer.
I think, Blake's voice turned rough. You're a smart ass who's too stubborn for your own good. I think you drive me crazier than any person ought to. And I think I might die if I can't be with you.
The air whooshed out of Farrah's lungs. She had the moment-by-moment clarity of someone speeding down the road in a car without brakes. The road would lead to either the most terrifying or most amazing place she'd ever see. There was only one way to find out. Farrah grabbed Blake Ryan's face and kissed him. Their mouths explored each other, hungrily and desperately, as if they'd longed for each other their whole lives and were only now getting the chance to meet. Farrah moaned and tangled her hands in his hair, her entire body aching. Blake tasted like ice and fire, like love and danger, like an angel and the devil. And she couldn't get enough. She wanted to drink up every last drop of him. He pushed her against the railing and molded his body to hers until she didn't know where she ended and he began. They poured everything they had into each other. Every feeling, every thought, every memory, both good and bad. They left themselves open so the other could rush in and fill the space that had been empty for too long. Time fell away, taking with it everything that happened before or would happen, and leaving them with only this moment. The surrounding buildings crumbled, the wall collapsed, the trees disappeared, and the hills flattened out, retreating into non-existence while they waited for the world to be born. Then, just like that, the world was there, bursting forth with such excitement it sped past everything, past civilization, past nature, past the sun and moon and stars, until it all fell quiet again. Through it all, Blake and Farrah stood, unmoved by the creation and destruction around them. Here, at last, they found a place time couldn't touch. But in the end, the universe gets its way. And though they had fought it until their lungs ran out of breath, they eventually had to ease apart. They stared at each other. Elation coursed through Farrah's veins. It filled her up until she thought she might burst. So she did the only thing she could do. She laughed. The sound danced in the air and echoed back at her, causing her to laugh harder. Blake's face broke into a grin. His laughter joined hers, their harmony saying everything they couldn't say in words.
Let's not go back, Blake said. Let's stay a while longer.
Yes, Farrah sank into his arms. Let's. They stared up at the sky. The stars beamed back, twinkling with joy. Farrah had always equated the stars with love, which seemed as nebulous and out of reach as the diamonds in the sky. But as she stood there next to Blake, beneath the infinite skies of a foreign land, the stars felt a little closer.
Chapter 16. One moment can change your life. It can happen anywhere, anytime, and it usually happens when you least expect it. For Blake, it happened on a little bridge in a little town halfway across the world from home. The moment his lips touched Farrah's, he was a goner. His excuses for why he shouldn't get involved with anyone from FEA crumbled into the dust, as did his aversion to virgins. In fact, jealousy streaked through him at the thought of Farrah sleeping with anyone else. Farrah wasn't like Lorna. She wasn't like anyone he'd ever met before. For the first time in his life, Blake believed in the Hollywood romance and the butterflies and the fireworks, because he saw them. They were as bright and unexpected as the girl who entered his life like a meteor streaking through the night, illuminating the darkness and showing him what was possible if only he would believe in the stars. "I'm going to tell you a secret, but you can't tell anyone." Blake held Farrah's hand as they walked along the Bund. The lights from the buildings shimmered on the Huangpu River, turning its waters into a rainbow of hues. The past few weeks had passed by in a blur of nights on the town, stolen kisses between classes, and heated makeout sessions in Blake's room. He found himself doing things that used to make him cringe, like leaving Farrah cheesy post-it notes in random places and buying her flowers for no reason. What's worse, he enjoyed doing those things. Yep, he was a goner, and he didn't care.
"Color me intrigued." Farrah tapped a finger to her chin. "Let me guess. You're a spy sent on a mission to infiltrate a group of hapless American study abroad students who may or may not be harboring state secrets."
"Right on the first try. Mission? Get close to the target." Blake stopped and faced Farrah, closing the gap between them until their mouths were inches apart. "How am I doing?"
"You're doing a bang-up job, Agent Ryan."
Farrah's breath whispered across his lips.
"Keep this up, and you might get a promotion."
"Might? Guess I'll have to work harder." Blake traced her lips with his tongue, teasing her until she caught his head in her hands and brought their mouths together in a searing kiss. She tasted like sunshine and honey and warmth, and he wanted to drown in her. To get so swept up in her depths, no one could find him. It'd be just the two of them, lost in infinity.
"Mom, look!"
A high-pitched voice sliced through his bliss. Blake cracked one eye open to see a little boy staring at them with curiosity and disgust.
"What are they doing?"
The boy's mother frowned.
"Nothing. They're doing adult things. You're too young to know." "But let's go."
She grabbed her son's hand and hurried him along, but not before glaring at Blake. If looks could kill, his corpse would be eating dirt.
"Oops," Farrah giggled against his mouth. "I think we offended her sensibilities."
"Did you see the way she looked at me? You'd think I was having an orgy on the riverfront instead of kissing my girlfriend." The words slipped out without thinking. Farrah's eyebrows rose.
"Girlfriend?
Fuck." It had been 2 weeks since their first kiss, and they'd yet to discuss their relationship status. Exclusivity wasn't official, but implied. Blake licked his lips.
"Sorry, I didn't mean girlfriend. I meant girl friend." "I see. No pressure."
"Okay." He had a horrible feeling he was digging himself into a deeper hole with each word coming out of his mouth.
"So, how about that kiss?"
Blake flashed his dimples in an attempt to warm Farrah's expression. It didn't work.
"Pretty great, huh?"
"Mm-hmm."
Ah, damn it. It was time to stop beating around the bush.
Look, it's not that I don't want you to be my girlfriend, it's just... He searched for the right words to say. We haven't talked about it, and I don't want to assume. We're here for a year. We don't know what'll happen once we leave. I don't want to put too much pressure on us and the time we have together. So you want us to be friends with benefits, like you and Mina? Fuck no! Friends with benefits were by definition not exclusive. The thought of Farrah touching another guy or another guy touching Farrah caused Blake to see red. Then he saw the hurt expression on her face and realized how his interjection must have come across. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to have sex with you. But it's not... I mean, we don't have to have sex. No pressure on that either, or with the relationship. Not that we have a relationship. He didn't make sense even to himself. Blake finally understood how guys with no game must feel. He wanted to sink into the floor. Farrah's frown deepened. He considered throwing himself over the railing into the Wong Pu when the frown disappeared, replaced by a wide grin. You're adorable when you're flustered. I am not flustered. Blake narrowed his eyes. Wait. Were you putting me on this entire time? Farrah giggled. You should see your face. You're so red. She squealed in surprise when he picked her up and spun her around. I can't believe you did that to me. I have half a mind to throw you into the river, he threatened. You would never. She wrapped her arms and legs around him and held on tight. Besides, can you blame me? The chance to see Blake Ryan tripping over himself was too good to resist. It's inhumane. Oh, come on. Farrah rested her forehead on his. I think it's cute. Blake was horrified. Teddy bears are cute. Puppies are cute. Guys don't want to be cute. It's the sexual equivalent of Siberia. Cute is sexy. Farrah lowered herself to the ground, sliding her body against his as she did so. Need sliced through him deep and heady. Don't think that'll get you off the hook. What? She blinked, innocent as a doe. This thing you're doing. Blake groaned when she hooked her fingers through his belt loops and pulled him close. Her soft curves melted into the hard lines of his body, and the need ratcheted up 5 levels. I'm not the one on the hook. You're the one who said I'm not your girlfriend. Do you want to be? Her smile faded at his serious tone. Are you serious? Blake's heart slammed against his ribcage. He nodded. Farrah's eyes grew round. Was that a good thing? He couldn't tell. 1 beat, 1 eternity. 2 beats, 2 eternities. The longer Blake waited for an answer, the more he wanted to die. He wasn't used to feeling this way, out of control, helpless, and ready to tumble off the precipice at another's command. He was so caught up in waiting for a verbal answer, it took him a second to register the warmth of Farrah's lips on his. Her tongue dueled with his hands tangled in her hair. Every inch of him ached for her, body, heart, and soul. Blake was lost, and he never wanted to be found. So, his breath came hard and heavy when they broke for air. Is that a yes? Farrah's eyes twinkled. That's a yes. Blake grinned so wide his face might split in two. You don't know what you got yourself into. Trying to make me regret my decision already? Never. He brushed a stray strand of hair from her eyes. It's you and me, babe. There's no backing out now. I suppose there are worse things in life. Farrah snuggled closer to him. What's that secret you wanted to tell me? Right, the secret. No, Blake hesitated, debating whether to say it out loud. What the hell? He'd taken one plunge today. Might as well knock them all out. I've been working on a project. For after graduation. Here goes nothing. I want to open a sports bar. I've been working on a business plan, and it's only a rough outline at this point, but I'm hoping to have something ready by Christmas. Blake tried to gauge Farrah's reaction. Nerves churned his stomach into knots. Saying it out loud made his plan real. It was crazy and far-fetched, but it was real. And though the thought of starting his own business made him nauseous, he also felt excited. Yep, that was definitely a glimmer of excitement beneath the nerves. Blake, he held his breath.
That's amazing.
Farrah threw her arms around his neck.
Can I see your business plan? What are you going to call the bar? You should have a signature drink.
Whoa, slow down. Blake laughed. Relief bubbled inside him. She didn't think his idea was stupid. Yes, you can see it after I'm done. I haven't decided on a name, and let's cross the signature drink bridge when we get there.
It'll all work out. I am so excited for you.
Farrah's eyes shone bright in the moonlight. You don't think it's a dumb idea?
Of course not. Why would I think it's a dumb idea?
I have no experience running a business, and there are a million sports bars out there. Blake frowned. What if it's a failure?
No one has experience running a business until they run a business. And there may be a million sports bars out there, but they're not your sports bar.
Farrah cupped his face in her hands.
You are one of the smartest, hardest working people I know. If this is what you want to do and you give it your all, you'll succeed. I have faith in you.
Rich warmth suffused him, washing away the doubt and uncertainty. Blake couldn't remember the last time someone had such unconditional faith in him. I don't know what I did to deserve you, but it must have been a hell of a thing. He tried not to let too much emotion show in his voice.
You can repay me with unlimited drinks at your bar.
She gave him a soft kiss.
And unlimited kisses.
Yes, ma'am. Your wish is my command. Blake intertwined her fingers with his as they resumed their walk along the Bund. It was late, and they had class tomorrow, but he couldn't bring himself to leave. The electricity of Shanghai's skyline beckoned, drawing him in like a magnet for lost souls.
I can't get over this view, Farrah sounded nostalgic, as if she were speaking of a place lost in the sands of time.
Blake gazed across the river at the city's iconic skyline. The jungle of high-rises pulsed with energy, lighting up the night with a rainbow of electric blues, neon purples, glowing yellows, and fiery reds. In its midst stood the Pearl Tower, stretching toward the sky with the ambition of one determined to be on top of the world. And in certain fleeting moments, when the glittering sprawl of man-made wonders blended with the diamonds in the sky, that ambition became a reality. Shanghai, the Paris of the East. It was as different from Texas as you could get, but it reminded Blake of New York. Like New York, it was a city that defined a nation, and it held the dreams of millions of people in its concrete palms. Unlike New York, Shanghai was a city that still woke up and wondered at its success every day, both intoxicated by and unaccustomed to the power it wielded. Blake inhaled sharply. The cold, crisp air burned his lungs. In that moment, he saw it. His future reflected in the lights and shadows before him. In that moment, looking at that view with Farrah in his arms, he believed it. He could do anything. He could be his own boss. He could be free.
Chapter 17. You've known me for 4 months and you want fast food. Olivia crossed her arms over her chest. I failed you as a friend. Farrah laughed. It's not that serious. I'm craving a McFlurry, that's all. Olivia grimaced. I'm in a good mood, so I'm not going to say anything. Thank you, C.B. Lipman, Farrah quipped. Olivia received the email that morning. She was officially a summer intern for the prestigious investment firm. Farrah heard her excited scream all the way down the hall. Olivia had been floating on air since. At least until Farrah dragged her, Sammy, and Blake into McDonald's. The place was packed. so the guys were saving them seats while they waited in line. Farrah examined the menu. There were staples, like the Big Mac and McChicken, but there were also items tailored for a Chinese audience, including taro pies, bubble milk tea, and a Sichuan spicy chicken burger. The taro pies looked tempting, but she ordered a McFlurry like she'd intended instead, plus two burgers and fries for Blake and Sammy, each. "You sure you don't want anything, Liv?" Farrah teased. "No, thanks. Don't ask me again." A sly gleam entered Olivia's eyes. "Let's talk about a more savory topic. Have you and Blake done the deed?" Farrah blushed. "Define deed?" "Don't be coy. Have you had sex yet?" "Define sex? Farrah Lynn." Farrah looked around. Sammy and Blake sat at a table in the back corner. There was no way they could hear her. Blake caught her eye and winked. She smiled as her heart did a happy dance. "We've made it to second," she said. "No third or home base yet." "Why not? He looks like he's good at bat," Olivia grinned. "Sammy would be proud of my baseball analogy." "Maybe not when you're using it to discuss another guy's sex skills. Anyway, to answer your question, Blake wants to take things slow." Olivia's eyebrows shot up in surprise. A pinprick of insecurity dampened Farrah's mood. On the one hand, it was sweet that Blake didn't want to rush things. On the other, didn't college guys want to have sex, like, all the time? Was it normal that he didn't seem to have a problem saying no every time sex came up? She was the virgin. She should be the one saying no. The server called their order number. They picked up their food and walked to their table. "Don't overthink it," Olivia said when she saw the expression on Farrah's face. "He knows you've never done it before, so he probably doesn't want to rush you before you're ready." "I am ready." Farrah knew she was whining, but she didn't care. "Seriously, how hard was it to give away your virginity these days?" Olivia giggled. Hashtag Farrah problems. "Shh, keep your voice down, they can hear." "Oh, it's so funny," Sammy asked. The tray didn't hit the table before he reached for a fry. "Nothing," Olivia and Farrah chorused.
"Sammy, there are some things guys are better off not knowing," Blake said. You're right. "By the way," Sammy said through the mouthful of burger, "there's something I have to tell you guys."
"Including me?" Olivia pointed to herself.
"Yeah."
He chewed and swallowed.
I'm going to be an intern at NASA this summer."
There was a beat of silence before a loud squeal caused every head in the restaurant to swivel in their direction.
"We're going to be in New York together?"
Olivia threw her arms around Sammy's neck. She seemed thrilled for someone who always said study abroad relationships didn't last after the program ends. Sammy grinned.
"Yep."
"Congrats!"
Farrah reached across the table to hug her friend.
"You rocket scientist, you?"
"Hardly. I'll be working on mathematical models for a climate change project. Not exactly Neil Armstrong stuff."
"Whatever. Anyone who works at NASA is a rocket scientist in my eyes."
Farrah wiped her mouth with a napkin.
"You're my mom's dream. If I majored in math and got a NASA internship, she'd faint from happiness." "Maybe it's a good thing you didn't," Sammy joked. "Congrats, man."
Blake clapped Sammy on the shoulder. His smile didn't quite reach his eyes.
"I can't wait to start my New York spreadsheet." Olivia whipped out her phone. "There are so many amazing restaurants we have to try. Let's start in the West Village and work our way to the other neighborhoods."
Farrah hid a grin. Some things never changed. When they returned to the dorm, Olivia and Sammy split to plan their summer in New York, while Farrah lingered in the hall outside Blake's room. His uncharacteristic moodiness stopped her from breezing inside like normal.
"What's wrong?"
She leaned against the doorway and watched Blake hang his jacket in the closet with more care than usual.
"Nothing."
"You're quiet."
"I have nothing to say."
"You always have something to say.
even when no one wants you to say anything. Not a hint of a smile.
It wasn't Farrah's best joke, but Blake usually indulged her with at least a chuckle. She walked inside and placed her hands on Blake's shoulders, forcing him to look at her.
You can tell me anything. You know that.
I know. Blake blew out a breath. That's going to sound stupid.
Try me.
Everyone has amazing summer plans. Sammy with NASA, Olivia with CB, you with your design internship.
I haven't submitted my application yet, Farrah reminded him.
She needed to put the finishing touches on her final design. She didn't love it, but it was good enough. At this point, Farrah was just glad she had something on paper, especially since the deadline was coming up fast.
You will, and you'll get it.
Blake's matter-of-fact confidence eased her nerves somewhat.
Thanks. You'll have an amazing summer, too.
She rubbed his arm.
Don't worry.
Doing what? At least you guys have something concrete lined up.
Blake broke away and sat on his bed.
All I have is a crazy dream to start a bar.
It's not crazy.
Farrah's fierce tone surprised herself.
You know what else started as a crazy dream? Apple, Microsoft, every small business and company in the world. You won't know whether something is achievable unless you try.
There's so much to think about, Blake argued. The leasing, the marketing, the liquor licenses, the food. I don't have the capital to rent a commercial space, much less hire staff. The expenses are too big for my parents to help with, even if they want to help, which isn't a guarantee.
He noticed her smile.
What's so funny?
You're thinking like a business owner already.
Thanks, but that doesn't solve my problem.
She sat next to him.
Let me ask you this. Is a sports bar what you really want?
Blake's face softened.
It is. I don't want to play sports for a living, but I love the community aspect of it. It brings people together. Well, unless you're rooting for rival teams. You can watch games at home, but there's nothing like being surrounded by people as excited as you are about every goal, every point scored. It's hype.
Farrah laughed. I'll take your word for it. The only sport she watched was the gymnastics portion of the Olympics every 4 years.
If this is what you really want, go for it. It may not be as concrete as an internship at an established firm, but this is your dream. So many people have started their own businesses, and I guarantee you're just as capable.
You're right. But I still need to find the money.
Blake shook his head.
Unless I win the lottery, I won't have enough for rent, much less everything else.
There are loans and investors. You'll figure it out. You're Blake Ryan.
I'm Blake Ryan, the football star, not Blake Ryan, businessman.
His eyes flickered with vulnerability. Farrah's heart ached. The world saw Blake, the football player. Cocky, athletic, good-looking. The one every girl wanted and every guy wanted to be. That was how she'd once seen him, too. While those things may be a part of him, he'd opened up enough for her to see past the winks and irreverent quips to the person deep inside. The boy whose life was defined by something someone else chose for him. Who'd been told over and over again his worth was based on his skills with a ball, and who wanted to be loved as a person instead of a commodity. Tears stung her eyes.
You will be, Farrah said fiercely. You're Blake Ryan. Anything you want to be. Businessman, president, CEO of fucking space. If Elon Musk can do it, so can you.
He laughed softly.
I'm not Elon Musk either.
No. Farrah pressed her forehead against his. You're better. You're you.
Chapter 18. Blake didn't know what good deed he performed in his past life, but it must have been a hell of a big one because it brought the girl of his dreams into his life. His chest squeezed every time he remembered the look in Farrah's eyes when she gave him a much-needed pep talk the other day. The look that told him she meant every word she said, that she believed he could do this. that she believed in him. No one had ever looked at him like that before. Blake was so caught up in his thoughts he didn't notice his mom pick up the Skype call until her voice broke through his consciousness.
Blake!
Helen's face filled the screen. She was wearing her old sorority sweatshirt, the one she always wore when she cleaned the house. Blake did a quick mental calculation. It was 9 at night in Shanghai, which meant it was 7 in the morning in Austin. Trust his mom to be cleaning this early on a Saturday.
How are you, sweetie? I haven't heard from you in weeks.
Her voice carried a gentle rebuke. Blake's stomach twisted with guilt.
I know. I'm sorry. Things have been kind of crazy. It's all right, dear, as long as you promise to call more often. Now tell me about these crazy things you've been up to.
Blake filled his mom in on his classes, friends, and favorite places in the city. He hesitated before adding, I've been seeing someone in the program. Her name's Farah. He tensed in anticipation of his mom's response. She'd been planning his and